This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, January 19th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Rob Cantor has the latest edition of the Environmental Almanac and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Some opponents of Chief Illiniwek say a myth regarding the history of the mascot's regalia is providing further cause to retire the University of Illinois' controversial symbol. A resolution from the Oglala Sioux Tribe is demanding for the return of the regalia. Ceremonial Chief Frank Fools Crow turned it over to the U of I, and supporters of the chief say the Oglala endorsed the use of the regalia. Urbana Congressman Tim Johnson mentioned this in a recent congressional field hearing on his resolution to keep the NCAA from imposing sanctions on the U of I because of the chief. U of I American Indian Studies professor Debbie Reese says this comment prompted some research.
In follow-up with the Oglala Sioux, we found that it's not the case. The Oglala Sioux decided it was time to make a resolution regarding that claim, and that's where we ended up yesterday. Tim Johnson's public statements prompted some action to occur. And so, he inadvertently helped this situation.
Reese says if the regalia is returned, the university won't find a tribe willing to lend out a replacement. Reese says making an original regalia loses any sense of honoring the rhetoric the U of I uses to try to promote the use of the mascot. Meanwhile, Honor the Chief Society President Roger Huddleston says Frank Fools Crow sold the regalia to the university and that no one from the Oglala Sioux complained because of it. The Oglala Sioux resolution came too late to be brought before the University of Illinois Board of Trustees at their meeting Thursday in Chicago, but Chairman Lawrence Epley said finding a resolution to the controversy over the chief was a priority as he outlined his goals for the year.
It is also time to finish the work of our consensus process and bring to a conclusion the matter of Chief Illiniwek so that the university can be removed from the list of NCAA policy violators, move our institution forward, and allow our student athletes to compete at the highest levels and free of sanctions.
The U of I Board of Trustees passed a resolution last year stating its commitment to resolving the controversy over the chief in a way that satisfies both opponents and supporters. Meanwhile, the NCAA has banned the U of I from hosting postseason tournaments as long as Chief Illiniwek continues to make appearances. The university may soon offer a lot more courses and degrees online. Officials unveiled their revamped plans for the Global Campus Initiative yesterday. Lynette Kalsness reports.
The Global Campus would let students gain bachelor's and master's degrees online. But Trustee Robert Sperling has reservations. He's concerned because the online campus appears to have a different governance structure than other parts of the university.
And if that results in a dilution in the quality of education we're giving these people, that would bother me. If it dilutes the quality of the degree, if our faculty doesn't strongly support the fact that they can deliver the same product, that concerns me.
He says the Global Campus would need the same level of oversight as other departments. Initially, the administration proposed that a separate body operate the Global Campus for profit. Its revamped plan calls for the campus to be part of the university and for faculty to design and oversee the courses. Student and faculty leaders say those changes make it much more likely the plan will win their support. I'm Lynette Kalsness.
State aid to schoolchildren will jump by $355 per student next year, under a recommendation from the Illinois State Board of Education. That's the largest increase in nearly a decade. The board proposes increases in a variety of programs, from special education to dropout prevention and preschool. Overall, the board recommended an $801.6 million increase in this year's $6.5 billion general funds budget. Districts can supplement funding with local and federal money. The board's recommendation next goes to Governor Blagojevich, who will prepare his own state budget proposal. The General Assembly will consider the recommendations in its spring session. The union that represents the majority of state workers in Illinois is lining up for a battle over pensions. Sean Crawford reports.
As the state tries to expand health coverage, give more money to schools, and fund other projects, it also has a huge pension obligation coming due. Henry Bayer, director of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees in Illinois, says he wants to make sure state lawmakers and the governor come through for employees and retirees. Bayer admits Illinois' pension debt is eating up more money, but he puts the blame on what he says are mistakes of the past.
The average state employee enjoys a pension of $18,000 a year. The problem is not that the benefits are overly generous. The problem is that over the years, governor after governor has not funded the pension system at the proper level.
Bayer says the union will also oppose any attempts to create a two-tiered system where newly hired state workers receive less benefits, or proposals to create a defined contribution system, such as a 401k. State workers in Illinois are guaranteed their pensions under the Illinois Constitution. I'm Sean Crawford.
Police say people and businesses are adding to a reward fund for information leading to an arrest and conviction in the deaths of two Burger King employees in Moments. The total fund is $21,000. That's up from $16,000 earlier this week. Heartland Food Corporation owns and operates the Northern Illinois restaurant where 50-year-old Paul Jones and 46-year-old Pam Branca were found Saturday. The company is offering $5,000 for the reward. Other contributors include the Arby's store in Bradley, the municipal bank, and the city of Moments. Police have said the killings appeared to result from a robbery gone wrong. No money was taken from either the safe or the restaurant's cash register. An autopsy showed the victims died of multiple injuries from a sharp object. Hundreds of volunteers joined police in an expanded search for a Purdue University freshman who's been missing since last Saturday. But a Purdue spokeswoman says no trace of 19-year-old Wade Steffi was found, and the search was suspended at nightfall. Steffi was last seen leaving a party at the Phi Kappa Theta fraternity house on the north side of the West Lafayette campus. Purdue spokeswoman Jean Norberg says searchers check campus buildings along with spaces such as golf courses, Purdue's horticulture park, and some near-campus neighborhoods and wooded areas. An Indiana House bill would allow people caught hunting or fishing without a license to pay fines on the spot without going to court. The bill was passed 89-4 yesterday, now going to the Senate for consideration. Co-sponsor Robert Bischoff says the bill would save people from having to go to court at the same time they could buy a license from the conservation officer and continue hunting, fishing, or trapping the same day. Under the bill, fines could be paid only by credit card. The Department of Natural Resources says the fines for hunting, fishing, or trapping license citations range from about $75 to $150, depending on court costs. Last year, the DNR issued about 3,600 such tickets. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. In the weeks to come, when you're out in rural areas, keep your eyes open and listen carefully. Rob Cantor tells us about a predator on the prowl in this week's Environmental Almanac.
Do you think you can name the largest native predator that currently lives and breeds in Illinois? I bet you can. It's a member of the dog family, larger than a fox, but smaller than a wolf. That's right, the coyote. As you spot a coyote trotting away through a field of corn stubble, you may feel like you're looking at somebody's dog heading home. And indeed, coyotes are related to domestic dogs closely enough to interbreed with them. But unlike a dog, the coyote points its bushy tail to the ground as it runs. When it casts a wary look back to gauge your intentions, you see a wild predator that inhabited central Illinois long before cornfields came to dominate the landscape. The lines of a coyote's face and head further distinguish it from a domestic dog. They curve and taper into a long, narrow snout, which forms the bottom point of a triangle that's completed by its tall, alert ears. The coyote's fur, a mix of cream, yellow, tan, brown, and gray tipped with black, helps it remain unnoticed in the many varied habitats it occupies. And it occupies just about every habitat available in Illinois, from the streets of Chicago in the north to the Shawnee National Forest in the south. Standing at about 2 feet tall, and weighing around 30 pounds, the coyote is just small enough to get away with living among humans. The coyote's success is also attributable to its flexible eating habits. Rabbits, mice, and other small mammals make up the bulk of the diet for coyotes in the Midwest. But coyotes are opportunistic. Depending on circumstances, they will eat roadkill deer or deer fawns, insects, reptiles and amphibians, grass, fruits and berries, rats, or even unlucky house pets. One key to coexisting with coyotes is keeping small pets and pet food indoors overnight when coyotes are most active. A coyote on the move may cruise along at speeds of 20 to 30 miles an hour, which is why one that seems to be just trotting away from you is out of sight so fast. And for short bursts, coyotes can hit 40 miles an hour or more. If need be, they can leap a distance of 14 feet, and they're capable swimmers as well. Coyotes mate in late winter or early spring, so the weeks to come afford better than usual opportunities for seeing them out and about. Coyote pups are born in litters of 4 to 9, sometime in April or May, and both mother and father care for them. The pups remain with their parents, learning the skills they need to survive, until late summer or fall, when they disperse to begin life on their own. The bonds between coyote pairs are strong, and they may mate together over many years. As social animals, coyotes are great communicators, expressing themselves through the sorts of facial movements and body positions that are familiar to dog owners. They also keep track of one another by means of howls, yips, and barks, at least 11 distinct vocalizations. The coyote's Latin name, Canis latrans, translates as barking dog. For some people, the coyote's howl will always be an emblem of nighttime in the desert west. But you need not travel far from an urban center to hear that howl as an Illinois sound, too.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the UIUC Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, follow the links on our website at wiol.uiuc.edu. Support for Environmental Almanac comes from the U of I College of Veterinary Medicine. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, partly sunny skies expected today, the high around 32 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 18, and mostly sunny with a high around 30 tomorrow. We have a chance of snow coming up Sunday. A total accumulation, 1 to 3 inches possible. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, January 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.